Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. B. Richard Ferguson.
Are you smart or dumb? According to James 3:17, you're not smart unless you are a peace lover. Is that you? What does it mean to be a peace lover exactly? James is going to show us today.
But beware of common sense when it comes to moral issues, because the sense that is common to mankind is depraved, is fallen. The sense that's common to mankind when it comes to moral issues is infected with the disease of pride and selfishness. James is going to go on after this section in chapter 4. He's going to go on to show us that that selfish pride, what it'll do is it'll generate desires. And when those desires go unfulfilled, the result will be quarrels and fights and hostility. But before we get into all that, first what James is going to do is show us a beautiful alternative. He's going to paint this powerful, masterful, breathtaking portrait of divine wisdom, true wisdom. If you want peace in the church, it's not going to come through policies or programs or processes or any of that. And it's not going to come from getting rid of hardship and difficulty either. It's certainly not going to come from reacting to things with human wisdom. But it is attainable. If you want peace in the church, it can happen. It'll happen simply by more and more people in the church growing and making progress in this kind of wisdom that's described here in verse 17. That's how we'll get peace in the church. You say, but how could just wisdom have enough power to solve all our problems in the church and get rid of all the fights and quarrels? How could wisdom have that much power? It has that much power because of where it comes from. Remember last time we saw that the power behind human wisdom came from its source, which was demons. And it's the same way with true wisdom. Its power comes from its source, which is God himself. See, in verse 17, look what he calls it. He calls it the wisdom that comes from heaven. This wisdom is from God, and it carries with it the power of God. And here's what it looks like. Verse 17. Here's the picture. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So James just takes true wisdom here and he holds it up to the light and he just starts turning it like this beautiful diamond and showing us all eight facets of this gem of true wisdom. So let's look at these eight things one at a time. First of all, he says, verse 17, wisdom from heaven, first of all, pure. It's pure. Purity. Now, typically we use the word purity to refer to sexual purity. Here, it doesn't have any sexual connotation. It's just talking about undefiled. That which is undefiled in God's sight. Free from sin is the idea. And James uses that phrase first of all to draw our attention to the fact that purity can't be moved to any other place in the list. It has to be first. Why? Because the second you violate moral purity, the moment you disobey one of God's commands, you're outside of the boundaries of wisdom. You're being dumb. No matter how smart you feel like, there's never a time when you say, well, in this particular case, we can't really follow what the Bible says here because this is a special case and we've thought this through and we know. No, you're being dumb. Okay. As soon as you depart from the commands of God and you disobey God, it's not wisdom. It's folly. It's foolishness. That's why righteousness and peace always go together in Scripture, because you never have peace unless you have godly wisdom, and you never have godly wisdom if you're disobeying God. And so righteousness and peace always go together. Hebrews 12, there's just so many passages that we could point to, but Hebrews 12:14 is one. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy, without which no one will see God. You have to have holiness in order to have peace. So if someone has true wisdom, this is going to be his priority. It's clear from the context here. If you look down at verse 18, you'll see that the main point that James is wanting to make here is about peacemaking. It's all about peacemaking. You see that from the context leading in, context going out, from the summary in verse 18. It's about peacemaking. But peacemaking comes number two in the list. Even though that's his main point, It comes number two in the list. Why? Because you can never have it unless you have purity, unless you have holiness. Because if you don't have holiness, you don't have peace with God. And if you don't have peace with God, you can't have true peace with one another. You know, it's not a coincidence that Cain just happened to murder his brother right after having a conflict with God, right? It was a cause and effect. As soon as he was alienated from God, he found himself at odds with his godly brother. That's what causes breaches of peace. So when two people are hostile towards each other in the church, the only way you can ever reconcile them to each other is if you reconcile both of them to God, which is going to require repentance. Whoever is in sin must be brought back into fellowship with God, which requires them to repent. Isaiah 32:17, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. You want peace? That's going to be the fruit of righteousness. So he says, first of all, pure, then peace-loving or peaceable. And that's the crux of the passage. So let's make sure we understand what peace is. The world thinks peace is just a ceasefire. It's much more than that. They think you can have all kinds of hostility and animosity in your heart toward someone, but as long as you're still amiable and friendly and nice and polite to them on the outside, then that's peace in their eyes. But God's standard is much higher. True peace is much more than just the lack of conflict. It's not the lack of something. There's a lack of conflict in a cemetery. That's not the model for peace. Peace isn't the absence of something. Peace is the presence of something. There's no peace until relationships, broken relationships, are reconciled and there's friendship. The Greek word for reconciliation means to exchange enmity and anger for friendship and love. See, you don't have peace until enemies become friends. Actually have to become friends. That's peace.
I have two points of application for today. First, remember that phrase, first of all, when James mentions purity? The most fundamental principle for wisdom is that it is free from sin. Is there anything in your life where you're thinking, I'm doing this because it's the wise course, even though it doesn't exactly line up with what Scripture calls for? That is earthly wisdom, which is the same thing as stupidity. It's not the wise course. If sin is involved, it's dumb living, period. The other point of application has to do with unity in the body of Christ. Are you at peace with the family of God? Is there any believer that you're at odds with? If the answer is yes, the next question is, have you done all you can do to reconcile? Have you repented of any sin, no matter how small, on your side? And have you confessed that to the other person? Or maybe you have some animosity, but they don't even know about it. If that's the case, you need to just deal with the attitudes in your own heart between you and God. But as long as that bitterness remains, you aren't really at peace. And if it is a conflict the other person knows about, after you deal with your own sin, have you done all you can do to bring the other person to repentance? If the answer is yes, then you're right where God calls you to be. You're not responsible for what the other person does once you've done all you can do. But if you haven't done all you can do, you are responsible. So talk to God about whether there might be someone you need to make an effort to reconcile with.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.